Are vegans actually unhealthy?
Does cannabis ruin your sleep?
And why are so many men taking testosterone supplements? I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg.
And we're the creators of the popular YouTube channel ASAP Science.
Every week on our podcast Side Note by ASAP Science, we explain the science behind a controversial subject with recent research, up-to-date studies, and ridiculous stories so you are entertained while, bam, simultaneously learning.
We're here to make science make sense.
Download Side Note by ASAP Science wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing fires up Canadians ahead of a weekend like some high-stakes political backstabbing. On Thursday, Maxime Bernier delivered.
As of today, I'm no longer a member of the Conservative Party of Canada. I want to do politics differently.
If you haven't been following Mad Max, he or whomever is running his Twitter account has spent much of the past couple of weeks railing against Justin Trudeau's embrace of extreme multiculturalism, declaring the death of political correctness, and calling for lower immigration targets. This behavior was not endorsed by his party and did not go ignored by Conservative leader Andrew Scheer.
He's an individual member of Parliament. He doesn't speak for the party. I think Canadians know where we stand for.
He doesn't speak for the party.
He speaks for himself.
So now Maxime Bernier is leaving the Conservatives. He didn't hesitate to toss a grenade over his shoulder as he was walking away.
To realize that this party is too intellectually and morally corrupt to be reformed.
He says he's going to start his own federal party. What will that be called? Who will join? How much of the Conservatives' base can he slice off? We don't know yet, but we're a year away from an election, and Canada might be getting a sixth federal party of consequence. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story.
I think this is seriously going to, it's going to be damaging. I'm not yet willing to say it's going to be seriously damaging the Conservatives, but it definitely doesn't help them.
Scott Gilmore is an editor-at-large at Maclean's. He's one of their leading political columnists, and he also knows a little something about considering an alternative to a Conservative party. But first, Scott, what did we see on Thursday?
Well, we saw a press conference in Ottawa, which typically isn't a cause for excitement. But in that press conference, Maxime Bernier, arguably one of the most popular members of the Conservative Party of Canada, decided that he was no longer willing to operate under the leadership of Andrew Scheer. He announced that he was leaving the party, and he said that he was going to be starting his own party.
He's been dissatisfied with the Conservatives for a while.
It's a grumpy tent. And there are lots of dissatisfied members on all sides of Scheer. Bernier has been grumpier than most and recently has begun tweeting about some of these things. For example, his consternation with Canada's multicultural policies. And those have caused a bit of a stir. And it looks like that reaction has now inspired him to strike out on his own.
How big was the Maxime Bernier announcement?
You know, the Canadian political pond is a quiet one, and any stone thrown is going to create ripples that will be noticed. And I think Maxime Bernier quitting the party was significant, and then him announcing almost in the same breath that he's planning on creating a new political party is interesting. Now, whether or not it's going to change the political landscape or not, that's going to take a few years for us to decide.
The biggest question is, why would a guy who was like a few votes away from running the whole party be leaving the party a year later?
Well, Julius Caesar once said that he'd rather be the first man of a small village than the second man in Rome. And I think that might be the case here with Bernier. If he can't be king, then he'd rather be build his own castle. And I actually think he has a fighting chance of succeeding.
In what sense?
Well, the timing is right. There is tectonic shifts happening beneath the Conservative Party right now that are playing out in some of the disputes you're seeing between the left side of the party and the right side of the party, between those that came from the progressive conservative background and those who are more of the rebel media crowd. And Scheer has done a pretty poor job so far, I'd say, squaring that circle. So Bernier could draw a few people away from the Tory benches. And what's more, it's important to remember, he's their biggest fundraiser. He raised more money than all of the other leadership candidates. He commanded half of the leadership votes from the party members. And in fact, in the first ballot, he took far more than Scheer with him. He had more votes than anybody else. He has a seat in Parliament. He's got a nationwide network that he mobilized for his leadership campaign. I would argue that he's actually in much better shape than the Green Party of Canada. And when you consider what Elizabeth May is able to do with what little she has, I think Bernier will be able to do more.
How did we get here over the last couple of weeks? Where did this come from?
It seems to me, and I'm probably not the best political pundit in Ottawa to answer this question, but it seems to me that Andrew Scheer is having a difficult time keeping his caucus together. And it's because, as I mentioned, there are splits between, you know, members of parliament like, for example, Michael Chong, and then on the other end of the spectrum, people like Maxime Bernier. And without him being able to articulate his own very strong and clear and understandable vision of what Canada should be and what the conservative vision for Canada is, it's going to be very difficult for him to rein in those factions. So I think that's probably, if you want to point fingers at anybody, you have to point it at Scheer.
Is it weird that it feels to me like this started on Twitter and ended in the real world?
Well, that's a very interesting conversation. There was a long time there where I would argue to myself and to others that what happens on Twitter, it doesn't matter. It's a echo chamber. It's people talking amongst themselves in a very small digital room, and that it doesn't reflect what's happening in the real world. But as the real world moves on to Facebook and Twitter more and more, and as we've seen in the United States with President Trump, that those Twitter conversations are basically supplanting the conversations we once had at the general store or at the parent-teacher association meetings. So it did start in Twitter, and Twitter, I think, is the real world.
Bernier kind of gave a list of reasons in his announcement why he's leaving the party. But how much of this was the one issue we've heard a ton about over the last couple of weeks, his opposition to what he calls extreme multiculturalism?
Well, he's articulated a very specific view of Canada. I went back today to take a look at his leadership website and some of the policies that he was proposing. And whether it's on firearms or transfer payments or healthcare or foreign policy, he definitely does have ideas that stand apart from the wishy-washy positions that the conservatives are taking right now, which it seems, for the most part, often are simply reactions to whatever the liberals are doing and don't reflect a specific worldview. And so Bernier thinks that he can his worldview makes more sense and that he can sell it better.
How long has this been in the works, do you think? Did this just come, like, obviously this didn't come up just in the last 2 weeks when he started speaking out?
I don't know. It does have a certain feel of spontaneity to it. I think that, you know, 2 weeks ago he wasn't planning on leaving the party, that he was surprised at the little grass fire that he created with his comments about multiculturalism. He was then probably surprised by the fairly outspoken reaction of his caucus colleagues. And so he said, you know what, screw it. I'm out of here, kids.
And what does that mean for the Conservative Party? Like, we're a year away from the election, and now Andrew Scheer is talking about how they'll all unite behind him.
It's not good news for the Conservative Party. I don't, again, Bernier leaving doesn't mean that they're suddenly going to rally around Scheer. Scheer still has to demonstrate who he is, which is I don't think he's done so far. And Bernier was their biggest fundraiser. He was one of the more charismatic members of a party that has a dearth of charismatic members. And he's a francophone, again, a party that's not very strong in Quebec. He polled very, very high. The Mad Max supporters, not just in the caucus, but in the among party membership, is significant. I think this is seriously going to be a it's going to be damaging. I'm not yet willing to say it's going to be seriously damaging the Conservatives, but it definitely doesn't help them.
You took a couple of years ago a few steps down the road towards trying to kind of create an alternative conservative party, maybe on the other side of the spectrum a little bit. But what was that experience like, and what are some of the lessons that you took from that that might apply to what Bernier is saying he's going to do?
Well, you know, that was just last spring. Let me tell you, in the age of Trump,
it feels long ago.
It was decades ago. I know. I actually thought it was 3 years ago when I was writing about it today. And then I went back and checked and said, oh my God, that was just last spring. Well, what that was is I had written a column during the leadership race expressing my dismay at how the Conservative Party, the party that I've supported for most of my life, has become anti-immigration. It has incoherent views on the economy. It has protectionist and isolationist foreign policy ideas. Now, this was all within the context of the leadership race when we had people like Chris Alexander talking about, you know, snitch lines and what have you. And it had a huge reaction, probably one of the biggest reactions to anything I've written for McLean's. And so I decided, because I'd made an offhand comment in the column about, you know, I'll buy you a beer if you want to talk about it. So many people, literally thousands of people contacted me. So I decided I was going to take a couple of weeks and go across the country and meet with these people. So I started in Halifax. I ended up in Vancouver. And everywhere I went, there were crowds of conservatives who were coming out of the woodwork to say, you know, they believe in smaller government, they believe in individual responsibility, but they also believe in climate change. Or, you know, they want a strong Canadian defense force, but their daughter is gay. And so they were having a very difficult time seeing how their values, their frankly, their, you know, urban, cosmopolitan, multicultural 21st century values were being reflected in the Conservative Party of the day. My question to all of them was, should there be a new party? I wasn't proposing to start that new party, but I was very curious about whether or not there was support out there to split away from, I think, a party that at that point had lost its way. And the reaction from most of them was that no, this wasn't the time to start a new party, but they needed a voice inside the party and inside the caucus, and they didn't feel that they had that voice. And this was before the leadership race, and I don't think that those people would see Andrew Scheer as being that voice. So Scheer also has challenges on the other side of the spectrum. There are a lot of conservative voters who are disillusioned with the party, and I suspect remain disillusioned and may not show up at the polls to support him either.
What could Maxime Bernier's party become? Because to see some of the discussion around it immediately after it became clear that this was something he wanted to do, it seemed like people were saying this is going to be Canada's alt-right party.
Look, it could end up that way. I think that Bernier's platform, when you go look through it, is really nowhere near the sort of Charlottesville alt-right that people are referencing. There are similarities to some of the rebel views, but I think that many of those are just coincidental. I don't think that we have to worry about this becoming a really disruptive political force in Canada. And in fact, I think it might be healthy. You know, so far, he's the only Canadian federal politician willing to speak truth on supply management. And he's going to, if you look at what Elizabeth May has been able to achieve with one seat and very few members, I think Bernier will be able to surpass that. And he's going to force conversations about issues that Canadians should be talking about. And, you know, frankly, multiculturalism is one of those that evidently matters to enough of Canadians right now that it's an issue that we haven't settled. So let's hope that Bernier figures out a way for us to talk about it.
Have you heard from any conservatives today?
I haven't. But that's more because I've been had my phone off and been working.
Right. If you're Justin Trudeau, what are you thinking when you watch this today?
Well, I don't think he has many reasons to be concerned. Like I said, this does more to damage the conservative spectrum on the voting public, or it's going to attract more attention on the conservative spectrum of the voting public. And as I said, he's the Conservatives' best fundraiser, and the one thing the Conservative Party is doing better than Liberals these days is fundraising. So it's probably a good day for Trudeau.
Well, yeah, now he's got his opponents facing a kind of an ideological split from their own party, the same way he deals with the NDP all the time.
Right, and if Scheer feels that he has to fight Bernier for those voters that might go to him, Scheer's going to become even more outspoken on some of those right-wing issues and right-wing views on immigration. And I suspect that Trudeau thinks that that's going to guarantee them another term.
Thanks, Scott.
My pleasure, Jordan.
That was The Big Story. For more from us, you can visit us at thebigstorypodcast.ca. All our episodes are there, and so is a form to contact us. Let us know what you think. You can also do that on Twitter, on Facebook, or Instagram. As always, at Big Story Podcast. You can find us on Apple, on Stitcher, on Google, wherever you get your podcasts. You can subscribe for free there and throw us a rating, throw us a review, tell your friends. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. Our producer is Claire Broussard. Megan Coley is our social media editor. Ryan Clark and Stephanie Phillips are our editing assistants. Have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.